So should we start with Satan?
Hail Satan, Bob.
God, here we go. Are connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I can't talk as fast as they can sing. I'm here with Lars Gotrich. We're doing, well, outer sounds. We're doing metal. We're doing
a little bit of everything. The urine Viking's choice.
Yes, it's so Viking's choice.
Yeah, there we go.
We haven't done it in a while. What is this?
This is Satan, Bob.
And this is a Siege Mentality?
The name of the song, Siege Mentality. It's from the band's first album in 26 years.
God.
Called Life Sentence.
Wow, here we go. Let's listen to more.
Yeah.
Lars, does Satan sound like Satan did in 1987?
Absolutely. One of the, not trends, because it just so happens that in metal, if you're a metalhead, you're a metalhead for life, so you keep playing this music.
Yeah.
And, you know, hell bless this band. They returned and ignored everything that happened in heavy music for the last 25 years and just decided to make a heavy metal record as if it would have been recorded or made in 1987. And this is just the natural follow-up to the last album. And it's riff for riff, it's like one of the most ridiculous and like carelessly speeding records that I've heard in a really long time. It's a lot of fun, and sometimes a lot of modern metal forgets to be fun. And
like
so
this
is, yeah. Listen right, to that
yeah,
riff.
Totally. Hang on.
I think that's actually my favorite riff of the year. It's just like, it makes me grin ear to ear every time I hear it.
Where's Satan from, so to speak?
So Satan are from Newcastle, UK. This was very much the style of metal that was happening in the 80s there. Something called New Wave of British Heavy Metal. It was spurred on by a bunch of bands like Iron Maiden, Saxon, and a lot of those types of bands. And they fit right into that mold, and they're kind of like the smaller, unsung bands of the era. And then all of a sudden, poof, they're back.
What do you do for 26 years? An unanswerable question, I'm certain. But
I'm sure they had like jobs and like filled in with other bands like around the area. This is kind of the wonderful thing about metal. It's like stuff doesn't really go away.
Did that I mean, well, you had My Bloody Valentine. You had lots of records in other worlds of music where bands had this monstrously long 17, 18, not 26 year absence, and then came back. In 2013, whatever it was about the year 13, brought back lots of bands. Did that happen in metal?
Absolutely. Another album that was also a favorite of mine was by a band called Carcass. Their first album in 17 years. On the metal albums of the year, I did a quick little, like, very unscientific, like, tally, and half of the records on there are by bands that are 15 years or older. So it just shows you that, like, this music just gets better with age.
And it wouldn't, I mean, would someone who is 19 years old like something that was 26 years old? You know, I mean, this is a problem when we all age. We get connected and stick with things that we like when we grew up, and therefore we're in the business, whereas someone who's 17 or 18 might not be in the business to write about things we love, and therefore we're promoting stuff that's older. You saw that all year long in other worlds of music where so many bands came back, we talked about. Are these bands still present and have an impact on the scene?
So there's kind of there's a bit of a nerd mentality when it comes to metalheads, and sometimes the path that you take to metal can always be a little different. Like, say, for instance, you got into metal through the late 90s through bands like Deftones. You have a different approach to it than if you were there when Metallica released Kill 'Em All back in the early 80s. The one thing that seems to tie a lot of this stuff together, there is respect for your elders in metal, so to speak.
Yeah.
You realize you need to listen to Master of Puppets. You realize you need to listen to Death and Carcass and all these other bands. You get there eventually. Yeah. And this is kind of, I've seen this kind of across the board. Even if you're a kid that starts out with a band like Between the Buried and Me, which is a very younger skewed band right now in metal, eventually you make your way to other stuff as well.
Very cool. I'm with Lars Gottrich. Lars covers metal for All Songs Considered for NPR Music during the course of the year on blog posts on the All Songs Considered site. But you also cover and write about music that is sort of, we'll say, outside the box. Outer sounds is one way to describe it. Just things that are not necessarily your verse, chorus, verse.
Right.
Right. That would be one way to easily describe it. So what else in 2013 got you excited that wasn't metal that was in that...
Well, I listened to this music that you talk about, the kind of very broad range of kind of more experimental sounds. A lot of it is released on your traditional formats like records and CDs and digital formats. But this year in particular, I more so than all years, though I've always been listening to this format, the cassette has been where I've found a lot of my favorite music and a lot of artists that gravitate towards this supposedly outdated medium are making some of my most favorite music. And one of them is a guy who records under the name Giant Claw. His name is Keith Rankin, and he put out four cassettes this year, all in different modes and kind of approaches to how he was making it's all synth-based music. Mm. There's one called Music for Film that sounded like it belonged in a David Lynch movie. There was another one that sounded like it belonged in like one of those side-scroller like Nintendo games from the 90s. The one that I love the most, which was one called Impossible Chew on a tape label called Field Hymns. And it is like just this ridiculous romp of synths and sequences, and it's like an ecstatic rainbow just blasting you in the face.
Ooh, did you say rainbow?
Yeah, rainbow.
I'm playing it.
And what we're about to listen to is the Meal Brothers theme.
Kind of music made by cats. I like this a lot.
Absolutely.
It's really adorable. I'm playing this off of my computer, but when you listen to these records from Giant Claw that come out on cassettes, you're not doing that, right? You're not playing it off a computer.
No, I'm playing it off the cassette. I think this year, more than any, I realized that I will probably, never is a strong word, but probably never really connect to digital music. So, short background. This year, I got engaged and I got married in the span of like 6 months. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I didn't have really funds to spend on music. And so this year, I didn't really, you know, of course, I receive a lot of digital promos. I got a pro account to Spotify just to see what that was all about. But I just realized that if I didn't have the physical thing in my hand to look at, to pull out of my library at home and kind of like be reminded that it exists, mm-hmm. I didn't really connect with the album. And cassettes were kind of like a cheap way to do that, because for the most part, you can buy a cassette from a small independent label for like $6.
Shipped to your door or another couple bucks for that?
You know, maybe a buck more.
Yeah.
Whereas a record, you know, these days records sell for $25. If you're, because
vinyl.
Yeah, vinyl record will, some of those will sell for $25 because, you know, they make them really nice and they're gatefolds and I love that stuff, but this year I just couldn't afford to buy that kind of thing. So cassette was always a medium that I loved and have loved since I had my grandmother's car and since I bought my grandmother's car in college. That's when I kind of like really latched onto this format because it kind of forces you to listen to the whole thing. It's really a pain in the butt to rewind and fast forward tapes. And I love how just the shape of it inspires designers in ways that a square doesn't.
Let's play another thing off a cassette, and then I'm going to ask you about where you find them mm-hmm. and how someone could go out and hunt down great cassettes. So what do you want to play?
Let's move on to Katie Gately. I find this computer music person fascinating. She just started releasing music at the very beginning of this year after only starting to make music last year. She's a film master's student at University of Southern California. She went specifically to go in for sound editing. And in the process of doing this program, she realized how much sound editing was like music and composing music. So she started making her own from the, you know, all these different digital libraries of sounds and released a few really fascinating records that are very loose and bizarre and very like they seek different things that you don't normally hear in computer music. But one of the most fascinating things that she releases here was a 14-minute single track tape called Pipes. And it is all just processed voice. Everything you hear in this 14 minutes of just ecstatic, like insane game of like chutes and ladders is her voice.
Okay, so let's listen to Katie Gately. See what happens here, Lars, because I'm sure
absolutely.
This takes adventures. I'm going to plop it, let's say, we're 4 minutes in now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like a bizarro Petra Hayden.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Song.
Petra Hayden, for those who don't know, Charlie Hayden's daughter, does all these really nice a cappella. She did a version of the Who Sellout, right? She did the great Who record, all a cappella and lots of a cappella stuff. Let's move on and just see what else Katie Gately is doing here. This is 9 minutes in. It's great. Toward the end. So where did you find Katie Gately? And if someone wanted to start to delve into the world of, like, getting cassettes and finding out about them, how do you do that?
Sure. I found out about Katie through Bandcamp, actually. I'm very prolific like user on Bandcamp. I use it on pretty much a daily basis. For people who don't know, it's a music discovery site that artists and independent artists and labels can upload their albums and their music to this service, and you can stream entire records and you can buy them for whatever price this artist decides. Sometimes you can get a physical product with it as well, and you get like MP3s immediately because people like instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And this year they introduced kind of more of a social sharing feature where you could set up a profile and, you know, have quote unquote friends and followers, and you see what other people buy, or you follow labels and you see when they're releasing a new thing on Bandcamp. And a friend of mine that I follow on Bandcamp had purchased this Katie Gately EP on a label called Public Information. It's a different thing than this. I just clicked on the sample and I was like, yes, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the rabbit hole that I followed with her music. But if you're interested in cassettes, there are three sites that I follow pretty much consistently. There's Tabs Out. It's a regular podcast, a two-hour podcast if you want to listen Wow. for 2 hours, you know, every couple weeks. And kind of one of the most satisfying things about the podcast, in addition to their site, which just kind of lists news items when new tapes come out, is they are actually playing the tapes. They're not playing MP3s like we are right now. You hear the hiss and crackle of the tape on the podcast, and it's kind of satisfying because that's the experience of the cassette.
Right. And that's Tabs Out.
Tabs Out.
It's like popping the tabs in the cassette so that it doesn't, you can't record over it.
Right. Yeah, right. I also like a site called C86. If you don't know, in tape parlance, when you put the letter C in front of a number, that means how long the tape is. So if you say C50, the tape is 50 minutes long. So the name of the site is C86 with a D at the end. And then I also like something called Tape Famous. Tape Famous, they do reviews of cassettes from all genres of music, not just like the weirdo stuff that I enjoy, what I tend to gravitate towards when it comes to the cassette, but also like indie pop and punk and hip hop producers and stuff like that.
Sweet. So we may have a cassette more for you, but let's go to something else. What else got you excited in 2013?
So for this show, I decided to include a couple albums that won't be necessarily on the metal and cassettes list because they don't fit into either genre, but they are strange and otherworldly records. And so I went to a show a couple months ago here in Washington, D.C. with kind of an odd bill that surprisingly worked. A guy who works in tape loops called Jason Lescalite, whom I like very much, put out a great album this year. Also Mike Shiflett, who does like these guitar drones, who I've featured on the All Songs blog once or twice, I think. But then someone who I'd whose name I'd heard before but had never bothered to check out, a Chicago-based artist, Haley Four, who records under the name, and this is in French, so I'm going to do my best to remember my French from high school, Circuit des Yeux, I think that's correct, which roughly translated means Circuit of Eyes. And at the show, it was just her and an electric guitar, or no, acoustic guitar, and kind of an array of pedals at her feet. And very, like, dark and brooding, like, folk-based-ish music.
Singing?
She sang, and she has this, like, deep, resonant baritone. Not an alto voice, but a baritone. Her voice is even deeper than most female voices. You know, her songs were very moody and kind of, like, delved into like darker recesses of our moods that we don't like to think about. And as the show progressed, she would just start like clawing at her acoustic, barreling down on the distortion pedal and just yopping into the microphone until the point where the last song she was standing up, hunched over the microphone, just beating on her guitar. It was one of the most harrowing live performances I'd seen in quite some time. So I bought her album like immediately after the show. It's called Overdue. She released it herself. The album is a bit more fleshed out, has like a little chamber, has like strings and like drums and stuff like that. But like it connects the line for me between PJ Harvey and like the Stooges and the kind of very morose and dark jazz singer Patty Waters from the 70s, who released albums on ESP disc. Mm-hmm. The song I'm about to play for you is called Nova 88. And in the last minute, it sounds like she is shaking hell.
To hear that last minute or so I'm just going to scoot it down to the end, and you can hear the whole thing online at npr.org/allsongs. Starting to hear the PJ Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good. This is her name is
She records under the name Sika Dazia, and her name is Haley Four. That's spelled F-O-H-R.
Great. So we played some old metal bands, 17 years, 26 years I hadn't done records. Let's do some new metal.
Absolutely. So I want to play a track by a band called Sub Rosa. They're based out of Salt Lake City. And they released their third album this year, but this is by far my favorite thing that they've done. The album's called More Constant Than the Gods, and they're a doom metal band that likes to do very long, you know, 12, 14-minute songs, and likes to work out stuff within those long pieces. For a while there, the thing that attracted, I think, most people to Sub Rosa is that they featured violinists in the band too. I think that was kind of a part of the band that people focused on a little bit too much, because, you know, it's something different.
Right.
But I think on this album in particular, the band has really coalesced into kind of more of a unified sound. At times it feels like a mix of so there's this band called Neurosis, very influential doom metal band. It feels like Neurosis has done like a folkways like fiddle drone record. But it's much more than that. And I'm kind of oversimplifying a little bit just to give people an idea of what it is. But I was just constantly finding new things in these songs. And it's just It's just a gorgeous record, if you can say that about a metal album, which you can.
You can.
Yeah.
Here we go.
So we're going to hear the song Ghosts of a Dead Empire.
That's my favorite thing, I think, so far.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
That's
really
surprising.
Like that.
I like when you tell me those things.
Well, there's, you know, I'm not the metalhead at all.
Right.
You're right. But when there, I love the air rush. You know, I love the just the wall that's there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I always look for a little melodicism and stuff in music. That's what hooks me into music. Besides the wall. So I love the wall, but then I want something else. And the violins in there, actually, okay, granted, it's novelty to have violins, and yeah, that's what, like you say, attracts people to the band, but it would be what attracts me just simply because there's that extra melody on top of the big wall of sound. And
absolutely.
I'm totally there.
Yeah.
So. Very good.
That's Sub Rosa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Salt Lake, here I come. So, I'm with Lars Gottrich. We're talking about Vikings choices here, 2013. We missed.
We missed the last year, maybe the year before.
Yeah, there were timing issues and stuff, the way the end of the year fell and all the best of lists and the holiday shows and vacations. And then it just got away. We weren't going to let it get away this year, though. I'm glad we didn't. Take it somewhere else, because this has been a bundle of fun.
So I mentioned earlier that I want to include two albums that aren't going to be appearing on my metal and cassettes list.
So those lists are, they're online now, right?
Those lists are online now. You can peruse and hate or love the metal albums and the cassette releases that I love this year. But I wanted to feature two albums that didn't necessarily fall into either of those things. And one of them is a record that... that never really left me all year because, it's a musician that I really respect and I think has a stronger sensibility of sonics more than most experimental musicians. It's a New York-based composer and improviser named Jeremiah Zimmerman. He's been making music for over a decade now, I think. Full disclosure, like, we've crashed at each other's houses. You get to know a musician, you end up sharing same tastes in music, and so sometimes if you're in each other's city, You need a couch. So I'll say that much.
Yeah. Clarinet player, is that
what Clarinet player, yes, that's correct. And he does a lot of different things. I mean, next year he already has two albums coming out within a month of each other. One of them is a trio record, and one for clarinet and electronics, which when he performs solo, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. But he released an album earlier this year called Sky Burial. I guess you could call it a quartet album, but it'd be weird to say that. He essentially asked two trumpeters named Nate Woolley and Peter Evans, who are the top of the game when it comes to New York improvised music, plus a saxophonist named Matt Bowder, who's also top of the game in that realm of sound. And he had them come in for recording sessions and just improvise to a loose score that he had created. And then he cut it up and added his own electronics and embellishments and effects and things like that. This album is definitely his most punishing, I think, in a lot of respects. It's I think you could almost traditionally call it a noise record. But he has such a fine ear for extremity and also pulling it back. Mm-hmm. And this record, it just messes with your perception of how you should structure sound. And so for that reason alone, I kept coming back to it, trying to figure out what he was doing. So I want to play a track called Rag Yappa, I think is how you say it, and it's from an album called Sky Burial.
This, but I feel if I don't pull it down now, it's going to be 11 minutes and 3 seconds later before I do. This is Jeremiah Zimmerman, Cymerman. I thought you might have said Zimmerman, or maybe somebody else thought maybe you did.
Simmer down now.
Very cool. I thought Rag Yappa might be an anagram. The closest I could come is pray yoga, but you'd have to use the Y twice.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. So, thank you, Lars. Let's take us out on something.
So, back to the tapes list. One of the most fun cassettes that I heard all year was by a beat-based producer who goes under the name Holly Waxwing, but the guy's real name is Garrett Crosby. It's funny because I'm going to put this in terms of noise, but it's not a noise release at all. Earlier this year, there was an experimental musician who released a CDR, a very limited CDR, of like field recordings of slot machine music. So you go to Vegas and you hear all these crazy slot machines, and it's a very cacophonous experience, but also a strangely alluring one, just like if you're a compulsive gambler. When you hear those pings and blah, 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 it's like your ears like tickle and you want to go do more. This tape called Gold Leaf Acrobatics is like the beat-based version of slot machines. There are all these like weird little triggers that are just ecstatically happy that make me want to listen to it more and more.
Do you know what a source sound sources are?
The easy answer is no, I don't know where the sources are from. It's obvious that he gets his voices from old soul records and he just pitch shifts like them way up. Maybe something like a Burial would do, the mm-hmm. produce, the UK-based producer. But where Burial is like good fall music, it makes you really sad most of the time. This is just like extremely happy. And the funny thing about the song that I picked, it's called Silk Tales for Isabel. It turns out that I know this person, Isabel, the song that the song's about. And she's a very happy and bubbly person. So it makes sense Perfect. That this song is also happy and bubbly. And like the crescendo and the last minute, like just brings me absolute joy every time.
Why don't we go out? We'll play the whole tune. We'll get to hear the last minute of ecstatic stuff, all the stuff that we didn't play because they're 11-minute and 14-minute cuts. We'll put much of that online in your on the All Songs Considered page. And then there'll be a couple of lists on the Best of 2013 blog that we have, which will have your cassette list and your metal list. Mm-hmm. But then when you get there, you might order dinner in or something because that list is full of the NPR Music Top 50.
Yeah.
It's full of the top songs NPR Music picked, 100 songs for the year. My list of top 20, because I couldn't keep it to 10 this year, is there. And there's so much to dig deep into. There's,
and that's what these... And the one thing that I always come back to is that nobody's heard it all. And, you know, it's from people whose tastes are different from mine, who are same from mine. And, you know, I'm already checking out, like I already have a list of 10 albums that I want to buy.
That's fabulous.
That's how it works.
Thanks for doing all this. This is good. This is, I heard none of these before today.
Awesome.
So that's fabulous.
That's
I love
the goal.
That. Yep, indeed. Let's go out on Holly Waxwing and the song Silk Tales for Isabel. I'm Bob Boylan along with Lars Gotrich. Thanks, Lars.
Thanks,
great.
Bob.
Happy New Year, everybody. From NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered. Thank you.